Let's bow our heads and pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight to worship you. Father, I don't know if we can come close to comparing to even just a little bit to those angels that sang that night that told the shepherds to go to Bethlehem, but Father, I hope that you know that we praise your name from pure and honest hearts, that we want to exalt the name of Jesus Christ, that we want to remember that your Son put on flesh so that he might die for us. God, we thank you for that. Thank you for loving us that much. Help us to love you more than we do tonight, as we continue to walk and grow with you. We ask your blessing upon your word. We know that your word will accomplish its purpose in our hearts. You will make sure of that. So I pray that your word would speak tonight, and we pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. As our reading was tonight about the Christmas tree, there's some folks don't think that Christmas trees should be part of the Christian celebration. They feel that it's a pagan ritual, has a pagan history. And to be honest, if you go back several thousand years, if you look at the history of it, it began with an oak tree. It was not an evergreen tree, it was an oak tree. And the problem with it is they would worship those trees because those were the trees that they would use to carve out their idols from. So that's where the pagan history comes from, and that takes it back to the oak tree, not the evergreen tree. But the evergreen tree was started somewhere, I believe, in the 16 or early 1700s in Germany. And it was because it was called, we call them evergreens. And with Christ, we have everlasting life. We have eternal life. And so it was brought into the realm of Protestantism and possibly Catholics too, I'm not sure, but certainly Protestantism as a symbol of everlasting life and eternal life. A couple of years ago, after we had set up our Christmas decorations, a pastor from another church came in and he saw a Christmas tree and he kind of cringed, because he's one of those that doesn't think that we should participate in that. And I said, well, I said, if this will help you, we have three. And if the middle one stands for the cross that Jesus was on, then that's what that replicates for us. And honestly, that's why we do three trees like that, is to represent the cross that Christ died on in the middle and the other two crosses that the thieves died on that were crucified the same day that Jesus was. And he goes, oh, I guess I can live with that then, he said. I said, well, good. Hopefully he understands that a little bit better. But to know that it came from the idea of the evergreen tree and in our everlasting life that we have in Jesus Christ because of what he did for us. I say, as again from the reading, that the Romans would use the cross to crucify those that were worthy of crucifixion, of death, for whatever their crimes were, nor usually murder or leading a revolt or treason. But if it's just a tool that you're going to crucify somebody on, you're not going to take your best tree, your tall, straight trees. You're not going to spend all that time shaving down like we see so many crosses on church displays, and even, well, you can't really see it tonight, can you? On the front of here, that they're just so pretty and so perfect and so manicured. The cross that Jesus hung on is not that pretty, folks. It was not that pretty. So it was just a tool that was used by the Romans to accomplish their cruel executions. But Christ was willing to pay the price, to pay the cost, in order that, again, from our reading tonight, he could pick, he could prune, and excuse me, pick and purchase and prune us for his name's sake. If you have your Bibles, turn. If not, feel free just to listen as I read, and I will flip rather quickly, but 1 Peter 2:24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. He picked you. And we talk about how he knows all the billions of stars that there are, and he calls each one of them by name. He knows your name. He knows you personally. And as I shared Sunday, he knows how many hairs we have on our head and how many we don't have that we used to have. But he knows us. In Psalm 139, Thou didst form my inward parts, you weaved me from my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet they were not, there was not one of them, before I was even born. We talked about this in our study on Genesis just a couple months ago, that at the moment of conception, that there is a blast, a little blast of light. Because of the chemical reaction, when the sperm meets the egg, the chemical reaction that happens makes a flash of light with the zinc in the female's body. And so when there was light, there was life. And God created and designed it that way, and it is so cool to know that each and every one of us, he chose. And he sent his son to die on the cross for each and every one of us. He's not willing that any should perish. Now, there will be those that perish that don't accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There will be those that end up spending eternity in hell separated from God, because they don't accept the free gift that he has given them, that he has provided for them. He picked you. He purchased you. There was a price to be paid. It wasn't free. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Doesn't get any more simple, any more plain than that. You were bought with a price. And Christ was willing to pay that price, to pick you, to purchase you, because the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. And Romans 3:23 says, for that all have sinned. Every one of us. None of us are that good. Just like Adam and Eve started it all for us, as it goes down to every person, every one of us is a sinner. Every one of us deserves death. But God paid that price when he purchased us. Romans 5:8, but God commends his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you. And folks, and well, Pastor, you're talking an awful lot about death and penalties here. Why on Christmas Eve are you sharing this? Because if you don't understand anything else, you have to understand that God died for you. And you must accept that free gift. And I always use, the regular attenders know that my illustration is God is always here, and we're standing next to him in our relationship with him, and the world's over there. So when I always talk about hell and that, it's always in that direction. No reference to any of our neighbors or anything, but it's just the illustration's sake. Is that we understand that we need to stay closer to God and keep our distance from the world. We can't slide when the world slides, because God doesn't move. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He stays right there. And if we're sliding, even though we keep our distance from the world, we're sliding, we're moving away from God. We're moving away from our Creator, from our Savior, from our Redeemer. He purchased us. We have a Savior. His name is Jesus. You think, well, I'm so bad, God couldn't love me. Look at the people in the Bible that God used. The Samaritan woman that had five husbands, and the man she was with then wasn't her husband. The demoniac that lived in the caves. Zacchaeus. David. We could keep going on. Jonah. He paid the price for all of your sins. You are not too bad for Him to love. You are not too bad or too much of a sinner for Him to shed His blood for, to give the gift of eternal life to you. None of us are that bad. In his book, Because of Bethlehem, Max Lucado is talking about somewhere, and we like the timelines, right, for eternity. Eternity, okay? Somewhere on the timeline between the tree of knowledge in the garden and the tree of life that we will experience for eternity in heaven was the tree of sacrifice near Jerusalem. Kind of made me think of our parallel to that in Genesis. We talked about the Garden of Eden, and then we talked about the new garden and the new city in Revelation 21 and 22, and somewhere in between there was the Garden of Gethsemane. Sounds like those two just line right up and agree with each other. What we have to look forward to because of what Jesus did for us. He picked you, He purchased you, and he prunes you as well. John 15. I know I got it here somewhere. John 15, 1 and 2, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. And the reading that Donna did talked about sometimes God has to pull out that chainsaw. We'd prefer He just used the little clippers, right? Yeah. Yeah, but sometimes He has to take out the chainsaw because we're just so stubborn and stuck in our ways. But He wants to work on us, and when He works on us, when we yield to Him, Philippians chapter 2, but when we yield to Him, He will give us the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We will put on love, joy, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. These are things that come after the pruning. After the, if you want to say a diamond in the rough, after the polishing, after the chipping away to smooth our edges. But he has picked you, He has purchased you, and He's going to prune you, and then when He prunes you, He will bless you with gifts to be used. I'm forgetting the reference right now, but and I think it was in the reading tonight, if you're still here, and I say it all the time, if you're still here, God ain't done with you yet. So whatever, if you want to get home, get about the task that God has for you and finish it, and then He'll take you home, all right? I look forward to that day. I'm excited about going home. This earth has its fun and its pleasures and whatever. It's going to be so much better when we go home. It is going to be so much better. Lois, neither Lois nor Terry are here tonight, but I know there's others with ailments, Rick that read, and somebody's going to get his ankle surgery, right? Coming up in January, yeah. And Elwin, not able to use his right arm or right leg right now. Makes me think of the song, I Can Only Imagine, what we have to look forward to. Am I going to dance for Jesus, or am I going to sing, or am I going to fall on my face? Whatever it is, I know it's going to be worshipful, and we look forward to that day. But you're not going to get that opportunity if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're going to be shut out because you didn't accept the free gift that He wanted to give you and was willing to give you. So please, I can't think of any. I was saved in VBS, Vacation Bible School, early in June, back in 1970. But I can't think, if not then, whenever. But I can't think of a better night, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and to experience the fruitful life that He will give you because of what He did for you. May we all have the privilege of spending this silent night full of gratitude and joy because of what Jesus has done for us. We're going to do our candlelight service and close in silent night.